Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour with Pastor Harold E. Salem. The mission of the Christian Worship Hour is to share the good news of the gospel with a lost world and to encourage and equip Christians to pray for our families and our nations. Please join with us and the members of our church family as we study the incomparable Word of God. And stay tuned to learn more about how you can be a part of God's amazing plan to reach the world. We hope you will be blessed by today's program.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And isn't this a wonderful time of the year? Christmas is my favorite time. And we've been looking at some of the songs of Christmas, and today we're going to be singing and thinking about the Song of the Angels. Oh, that's a beautiful story. And so I know you're going to be blessed. Even if you don't want it, you're going to get blessed. But before we do that, I want to share some of the letters. We get so many wonderful letters, and I just want to share some of them with you. Here's one from Council Bluffs, Iowa, and this is from a young man. He said, God bless you all for what you're doing, taking God's word all over the world. What a wonderful thing you are doing. Thank you again for telling me how to bring Jesus to me. He is with me now every day. It feels wonderful. Wow. And so listen to what he says. He says, thank you for bringing Jesus to me. That's what the Christian Worship Hour is all about. And when you give one nickel and when you say one little prayer, you're having a part in this program of bringing Jesus to people. It's beautiful. Now let's see. Here's one I have to share with you. This is Mountain Home, Arizona. And this man wrote in about being saved. And I sent him Steps to Peace with God by Billy Graham. It's a little pamphlet, a little booklet. And he got that and he wrote back and this is what he said. Thank you for Steps to Peace with God. I signed my pledge today, 9/18, September 18, 2016. And so he writes to us and tells about how he took this little pamphlet and it led him to the Lord. And if you would like a copy of this little booklet you write to us, I'll give the address at the close of the service. I won't interrupt now. And you can write in. It's free and postpaid. It's a beautiful little booklet. Now, here's a little letter that's a little bit longer, but I just had to share it with you because I know you'll want to pray for this dear lady. This is Commerce City, Colorado. She said, I pray for forgiveness, and the Bible says he forgives. But how come I don't feel it when I can't forgive myself? If I didn't know I would go to hell, I would have killed myself years ago. I opened my Bible last night to the Ten Commandments. I realized I've broken almost all of them. I don't know how to put my life together. I'm 58 years old. I feel my life is over. I made TV and pills priority over God. I turned to Christian channel number 2 in the morning. It was children for the best place to start. Now what do I do? Where do I really find God and Jesus? I know I can't live this way anymore. Please help me find the way. My ways are the wrong ways. I have the program Celebration Under the Silver Dome. I pray I get it. I hope you understand what I mean. I'm a lost sheep and want the Lord to take my life and show me the way. And she says, I cry as I write this because I need help. I don't need to know what to do. I'm so lost and lonely. Help me and tell me what I should do. And so this is what we did. We've sent to her a letter right away. I tried to call her. I couldn't get her phone. We sent her literature on accepting Jesus. And she's working, she says, I don't feel it. Now, friend, you may not feel anything. When you accept Jesus, you may feel joy and happiness and peace, or you may not feel a thing. Because our salvation doesn't depend on our emotions. It depends on our faith. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Faith, plain faith. And think of it as a contract. And God is offering you a contract to sign, like a marriage contract or a contract to do something else. And he says, if you do this, I'll do this. He says, if you accept Jesus, I'll take away your sins and give you peace at heart. See? So we're sending all this literature to this lady. Want all of you to pray. And I'm wondering if there aren't many that don't really know the Lord, and they think they have to have some feeling. Don't go by feelings, because some days you may feel wonderful and the next day you may feel lower than a snake's belt buckle. And so just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And in Paul says in Romans, but to him that worketh not, don't work to get saved, but believeth. And after you believe and after you accept Jesus, then you serve him. You work for him with great joy. So I hope that you'll write to us. Get your pencil and paper and have it ready. And at the close of the service, I'll give you our address. But now today we want to continue our songs of Christmas. We've seen the look to the song of Mary. We looked at the song of Zechariah. Today we're going to look at the beautiful song of the angels. And next Sunday, Lord willing, Christmas Day. Next week will be Christmas Day. We're going to sing and look at the song of Simeon. And you would be surprised what that man prayed and prophesied. So just stay with us and God will bless you. I know, because we're using God's word. That's where the blessing is. So we want to look at the angels. Let's first of all look at the shepherds, then look at the angels, and then listen to what they're singing. Now the shepherds, Luke says, they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Actually, these fields were between Jerusalem and Bethlehem, and many times it's called the pastures of Bethlehem. And this is where David, centuries before, kept his flock, kept his father's sheep. And this is where Ruth gleaned in the fields of Boaz. And so the shepherds are there keeping watch over their flock by night. That is, the shepherds had little bands of sheep. And at night they would put them all those bands together. And then some of the shepherds would sleep and some would stay awake and watch over the sheep and care for them and watch for predators. And so they're out there in the fields with their sheep. They were Jewish men. But I say that because they knew the Old Testament. And they knew that in the Old Testament, God promised he was going to send a Messiah. He was going to send a Savior of the world. And so when the angels talked about a Savior, they knew exactly what he was talking about, what they were talking about. Had the angels come to America, to some of these sheep herders out in western South Dakota, I know all about them, they wouldn't have the foggiest idea what he was talking about, a Savior. Maybe they think a Savior from their debts or something. They wouldn't know. And so these shepherds knew, they knew full well that these heavenly creatures were talking about the long-awaited Messiah, and the shepherds knew it. And then look at the angels. Now the angels are spirit beings from the outside of this world, and they gather in two groups. They could put them all in two groups. The good angels, which are the servants of God, and the evil angels, which are the servants of Satan. We call them demons. The English word for angel in the Old Testament is Malak in the Hebrew. In the New Testament, it's angelos, Greek word. And in both of these mean the same thing. It means messenger. So you could read about it, and instead of saying angel, you could say messenger. That's exactly what it is. Now these angels do God's work. They continually surround the throne of God, and they never leave it until God has a message for them or has a duty for them or assignment for them, and go to the earth and tell this or do that. And then they go and they do it, but they go right back to the throne of God because that's their abode. The only time they leave heaven is when they're on assignment from God. And so we see the angels at work in the life of our Lord. You see, at his birth, angels spoke to Mary. Angels spoke to Joseph. Angels spoke to the shepherds. Those angels are just messengers of God. God is revealing this all of these people. And here they come and do it. When Jesus was here in Gethsemane, the disciples were sound asleep. Jesus agonized and sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And what do we read? We read in Luke 22, verse 43, that after Jesus had done with his praying in Gethsemane, there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. So here's an angel comes to comfort and stand by the Son of God. Perhaps the angel wiped away the bloody sweat. Perhaps the angel brought words of encouragement to him. Men failed. Angels stepped in to help. The first Easter morning, angel came and rolled back the stone to show that the tomb was empty. He didn't know to roll away the stone so Jesus could come out. It was empty. Jesus went right out in this resurrected body through that solid rock. We're going to have a body like that someday if we trust Jesus. Looking at the temptation, the angels are the temptations. We're told that Jesus is in the Judean wilderness and he's fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And after that, he had great victories over Satan and he's put down. And then the scripture says that Jesus hungered because he was God and he was man. He hungered. And then this says angels came and ministered unto him. Perhaps they brought him food. They brought him fellowship. It's the work of the angels. Even at his ascension, when he ascended into heaven from the Mount of Olives, God sends an angel to tell the disciples, don't worry, this same Jesus is coming again. You'll see him again. So the angels were created to serve God, to honor God, to glorify God. And let me tell you something, my friend, that's exactly why we're here today on earth. We are here to serve God, to honor God, to glorify God. And maybe you don't have anything to do with God, but that's why you're here. And you're out of God's will and you're disobeying God. And if you don't turn to Jesus, you're going to have a terrible future. You won't have a future. It'll be a place of torment. And so this angels came. They came instead of every believer. Just like with the angels, heaven was their home. They came to earth and they were ministering angels. Coming to earth, that was their mission. Well, we could say this earth is not our home, but we have a mission, and that is to preach the word of God, to teach the word of God, to share the word of God, to help the people of God, to honor God and glorify God, and then we'll go to heaven, and that'll be our home too, see? We're on a pilgrimage. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our Father's in heaven. Our home is in heaven. Our friends are in heaven. Our treasure's in heaven. The angels are in heaven, and someday we will be there. Now, the angels are one-way messengers. That is, the message comes from God to us. That's the only message they have. They don't make up anything. They don't plan anything. They don't make up their own policy or anything else. They take the message of God, and they give it to men. And that's what every loyal pastor ought to do, is ought to take the word of God and preach it to people. And if the people like, and God told Jeremiah, he says, I want you to preach this. He says, don't be afraid of their faces. Well, some of the faces, that's why I like to preach on television. I can't see your faces. But he says, you're a child of God, you're a servant of God, and you go and you carry that message no matter whether they like it or not. Period. And so there they are. And in the Bethlehem story, the angels come on the scene. And one angel appears in the night sky outside Bethlehem. Says, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone around about them. The angel said unto them, fear not, I bring you good tidings. And then he says, for this shall be a sign, and tells a whole story. One single angel brings God's message. Now, who was he? Well, it could have been Gabriel. I think, well, probably it was Gabriel. Gabriel means mighty one of God. And he's always bringing important news. And he's the one that came to Zechariah and told him about the coming of John the Baptist. He's the one that went to Mary. He's the one that went to Joseph. Wherever Gabriel was, just was bringing good news and a great, wonderful message. I don't know if this was Gabriel or not, but there was one single angel. And then the gospel writer says, and suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Notice that one single angel, and then suddenly a multitude of angels. A multitude of angels. How many is that? 100? 1,000? 1,000,000? 10,000? What is it? Well, Moses tells us at the giving of the law on Mount Sinai, God sent 10,000 angels. Deuteronomy 33, verse 2, if you want to look it up. But the giving of the most precious gift in all of the world, Jesus Christ, I don't think he sent 10,000 angels. I think he sent 10 million angels. And it filled the sky. And it says, suddenly, here's these shepherds out there, and all they got for a light is they got a little olive oil lamp that you couldn't hardly find it. Even when it was lit, you couldn't hardly find it. All of a sudden, it's the whole sky is filled, just like turning on the lights. They'd never seen a light bulb in their life, and they're just like throwing the switch, and the sky is filled with his angels, and they're singing and praising the praises of God. And then we said they were sore afraid. Well, believe me, they were afraid. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. The whole countryside was filled with the angels. Have you ever thought of that glory of God? This isn't the only time we've heard about the glory of God. Moses saw it at the burning bush, the glory of God. The Israelites saw it in the pillar of fire in the wilderness journey, and the pillar of God, the glory of God. The worshipers saw it in the tabernacle of the wilderness, and they saw it again in the temple in Jerusalem. They saw it on the disciples on the transfiguration on the Mount of Olives. Now look, the glory of God is back, and is surrounding these angels and the shepherds. And they was resent then. This wonderful glory of God, when Jesus was done with his death and he died in the resurrection and he comes to his ascension, he was received into a glory, into a cloud, that cloud of glory that he set aside when he came to be born of the Virgin to be one of us. God in man, man in God. Oh no, it just can't be. There's one, only one Jesus, God who became a man, God, man. And the glory of God was there, and now he's taking that glory back. The shepherds were petrified at all of this. So now let's see what the angels sing, what they tell about us. Someone says, I said sing. Somebody will say, did you say sing? Yes, I said sing. Well, then they'll say, well, don't you read your Bible? Because the Bible says it didn't sing. It says they said. Well, let's read what it says. King James Version here. Suddenly there was the angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying. But let's look at some other translations. Living Bible says praising God. Today's English says singing praises to God. New English Bible says singing the praises of God. Jerusalem Bible says singing the praises of God. So there's a difference of opinion here. And personally, I can't understand. I can't imagine how the angels could help but sing. But if you don't like singing, you can say, they said, they mumble, blah, 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 blah. What are they saying? The glory of God? No, they're praising and singing and hallelujah. So maybe your angels don't sing, but mine do. And when we get to heaven, we'll know for sure. But now let's put that aside. What are they singing? What are they saying? Fear not. God is always saying that. He says, you're frightening. Fear will hurt you. Fear will make you so that you can't get around. Fear can make you sick. And he's always saying, he says, don't fear. And then Jesus tells us, then the angels tell us why we shouldn't fear. We shouldn't fear because they said, behold, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. And if you know the Savior, you'll never be afraid again. The devil will do all he can to frighten you. But oh, the hope of the centuries is fulfilled, and there's joy and there's singing, and fear is now gone. And then they say, I bring you good news. I bring you good tidings of great joy. This message is for all people. We don't want to forget that. That's why we have the Christian Worship Hour. And that's why you ought to pray for the Christian Worship Hour. And you ought to support the Christian Worship Hour, because we're telling the whole world. Christian Worship Hours by television and shortwave radio all over the world. And it's in North Korea where they're suffering the most. And it's in Israel, all over the world. And we're doing what God tells us to do, but we can only do it if you help us. You ought to pray about your having a part in helping us in this work. And then look at what it says. Salvation, look what it says. Unto you is born a Savior. Salvation is a person. That's that salvation, a Savior from sin. Not that maybe that won't save us from the evil conditions of the world. We'll have to live among that, but he'll give us help. But he means he's talking about salvation, the eternal salvation of that precious soul, a Savior. He's also called because the Lord, he is the anointed one. He's the Messiah of God. He's the fulfiller of the promises of God. He's a great prophet, priest, and king. This wonderful, wonderful Christ, the Lord, that's who it is. And then the Lord, no one gets higher than that. And then look at what else it says. It goes on and says, for you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Jesus is one of us, except without sin. He's taking our flesh, born to be grown to be a young man, and in that flesh, glory be to God. He's going to die for us. But Jesus, when he was in the flesh, and he was tempted in all points like as we are, and when you have troubles, and when you're lonely, and when you're weary, and when you're forsaken, think of Jesus. He was there before you were there, and that's the way he lived. And he did it because he loved us, and he agonized us so terribly and died so hideously. And yet he did it, Hebrews says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He rejoiced that he could go and die for you and me. Can you imagine it? This wonderful Savior. And so then they gave glory to God. They said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, this is a terrible translation. I'm the King James man, you know that. But that's a bad translation because that tells us that the men of goodwill are going to bring peace, and men are never going to bring you peace. Peace comes only from God. You know what men bring you? Wars and rumors of war. You want to know what men bring you? Look at the world today. So don't tell me that men is going to bring goodwill and they're going to bring peace. It ought to be translated, glory to God in the highest and on earth and peace to men on whom his favor rests. That on the born again people. That's the NIV translation. In other words, this wonderful peace comes because we know Jesus, not because we know some men. And this wonderful peace comes from God. It doesn't come from God. Don't believe this. Look toward any direction you want, and you'll see what man does and what he can do. And then this wonderful peace of God comes from God and God alone, and is a peace that only God can give. So we need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then and we need to share it to the world, because he says, and it can then the angel said, it came to pass, they've gone away from into heaven. Suddenly they departed. Suddenly they went. Suddenly they came. But as they depart, they just kind of drift away. The Hebrew, the Greek word has it kind of dimmed out. And so it's just a bang like turning on the light. And then they just suddenly fade away. And so this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, he is in that his coming, and the coming of the angels is imprinted on the minds of those shepherds, and they never forgot it. And though they went to see them and saw the Lord Jesus Christ, that little baby Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, friends, someday Jesus is going to come again, and we're going to see him in all of his glory and all of his might. And so as we sing about or talk about the angels and the message they bring, it's telling me I need to go to Bethlehem. I need to go to that baby. Only he's not a baby anymore. He's a risen Christ. I need to go to Jesus. And he can be my Savior, and he can save me from my sin no matter what my sins are. He'll wash them away and take them away. And you say, how can that be? And it says, whosoever will call in the name of the Lord can be saved. And you do this. You say, dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll forsake you the best I can. That's repentance. Jesus taught repentance. And then thank him. And then tell somebody what you did. And if you do that, then you write to us. You write to us. Get your pencil and paper here. Write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And it's a USA. Or if you want to, you can get us on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. Now, if you want us, we'll send you literature. On the other hand, we need to hear from you. We are not underwritten only by God's people, not underwritten by a church, a denomination, a corporation, or anything else. God's people. And so you should pray, should I support this ministry? Is this what you want, dear Lord? And if he says yes, then you say how much? And be honest when he tells you how much, because you may fall off of your chair. But whatever it is, I don't know. And I know you're saying, oh, what if we send money and they use it on themselves and get cars and they get buses and they get trains. They get everything under the sun. We are a member, a full member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And though they audit our books in an international organization, they audit our books, not only what we receive, but how we spend it. And you can count on it that it's exactly used. Every penny we use, we pay whatever expenses we have. We keep them as low as we can, and then we mail it out. We send it out. Then we'll send out to as many different, or we'll find a new station. We'll get on a new station, whatever. We need to have your help. Now we have a little paper called The New Song. And if you write, you can get that, and you'll just love it. Now I want to close in prayer. And we always pray for the persecuted church. And this time, the people in Algeria. So, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, our wonderful Savior. We thank you that you have all those people coming to you right now. And now then, Lord, we pray for those on beds of sickness. We pray for those who are lonely, those who are weary at Christmas time. Maybe they're all by themselves. Oh, loneliness is a horrible thing. And help them to know that you are there. And when they trust in you, you are in their heart and soul. And you said you'd never leave us or forsake us, and you always keep your word. And so bless them. Lord, we pray for those outside of Christ, that they'll be, that they'll open their heart and come to you. And we pray that everything we say and do will honor Jesus our Lord. We pray for the persecuted in church in Algeria, Lord. So some of them dying for you. Help them to know that we are encouraged by their faith. And we pray for them and we love them and we'll see them someday. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So now Agatha is going to put this on the screen. And those of you on a shortwave radio, Christian Worship Hour, and the box is easy. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we're hoping that you have a wonderful Christmas season. We hope you'll write to us. We love to hear from you. And we'll pray for you and you pray for us. And then next Sunday, won't that be something? The Song of Simeon. And he's going to prophesy some things that are coming through right now, coming to pass right now. So God bless you. Have a good season. God loves you. We love you. We'll see you next week, Lord willing.
You've been watching the Christian Worship Hour, the weekly broadcast that brings good news to the lost and encouragement to the believer. We hope that today's program has been a blessing in your life. Support our ministry by contacting us at the Christian Worship Hour, P.O. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, or visit us online at ChristianWorshipHour.com. Be sure to join next week for another life-changing message from Pastor Salem.